It's so good to see everybody. It's been a minute. So welcome tonight. Welcome. Welcome, welcome. God is good. So we're going to start. Everybody on Facebook or YouTube? No, we're not going to Facebook, right? YouTube, or if you're watching through the website, welcome. This is part 9 of our Bible study, the session we've been on. This the series has been Wisdom for Living, part 10. I'm sorry, last week was part 9. So let's pray before we start. Father, we just thank you for tonight. We give you glory and honor, first of all, for even getting us all in here on this rainy night. Thank you for protection. Thank you for your grace. And as we sit tonight at your feet to hear, Lord, thank you for the things that you will teach us, for the words that are going to come to just refresh our spirits and refresh our souls in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been talking about James. James, tonight we're doing James 5, 7 through 12. If I can get someone to read that. Can I get someone to read James 5, 7 through 12? Any volunteers? Okay, Grace is going to do it.
James chapter 5, 7 through 12. Brothers, be patient until the Lord comes again. A farmer is patient. He waits for his valuable crops to grow from the earth. He waits patiently for it to receive the first rain and the last rain. You too must be patient. Do not give up hope. The Lord is coming. Brothers, do not complain against each other. If you do not stop complaining, you'll be judged guilty, and the judge is ready to come. Brothers, follow the examples of the prophets who spoke for the Lord. They suffered many hard things, but they were patient. We say they are happy because they were able to do those things. You have heard about Job's patience. You know that after all his trouble, the Lord helped him. This shows that the Lord is full of mercy and is kind. Be careful for what you say. My brothers, it is very important that you not use an oath when you make a promise. Don't use the name of heaven, earth, or anything else to prove what you say. When you mean yes, say only yes. When you mean no, say only no. Do this so that you will not be judged guilty.
So, thank you. So, when you look at those, I believe those 5, 7 verses, what are the four, for me, I found 4 things that James was talking about. What, anyone want to tell me what those 4 things are? 4 things out of those verses that stand out for you. You could say one of them, you don't have to say all 4. The paper is in front of you. You could take from it too.
I believe you talk about patience a lot.
Patience, okay. There's something else. Endurance. Trusting in God's timing. And then guarding your tongue, like watching what you say. So patience, endurance, God's timing, trusting in God's timing, and then guarding your tongue. So James encourages us to learn about those 4 things. But so even when we navigate life, you know, there are going to be bumps and all kinds of obstacle barriers here. But it encourages, he's saying, stay focused. Stay in your lane. God is there. God is able, right? That's like the summary of what he's saying. But when I was trying to study this, because our topic is patience in suffering, I started to think about, so what does patience mean? Suffering, what is suffering? And I was born in Africa. So when you say someone is suffering in Africa, a lot of times it's someone who can't feed 3 times a day. Those are the typical things that you would say. Maybe things were rosy before, but then all of a sudden it's not rosy anymore. But then the more I thought about it, There is. You can look at it from the world view, but you can also see from how the Bible tries to paint it. And I actually went to Google, and it says that suffering refers to the various experiences of enduring physical or emotional distress. So there is distress. There is distress. There is unrest. There is stress. There is pain. Right? At every one level or the other. And this can also have significant impact on our lives, on our relationships. Impact. But what I also found was that if you look at suffering in today's fast-paced world, it's like the unwelcome guest into a party, right? You send out an invitation, and you say everybody must RSVP. But there are some people that will never RSVP, and they crash in, right? So nobody ever willingly invites suffering into their lives. There are some that happen because of situations. There are some that we pull in by ourselves because we're not paying attention or we're not intentional about what God is saying. We're ignoring signs and we walk right into it. Okay? So, let me tell you a story. So, last week, I work remotely. Last week, I live in South Jersey now, but I have to come into the office once a month. My office is in Edison, which is, if I take the turnpike, it's 1:30. If I take 295, it's 2 hours. So I came in. When I was leaving, I don't like driving at night, and I don't like driving in the rain. I don't like driving in snow. I want to see dry ground, okay, when I drive. So when I was leaving, it was 4 p.m. I got in my car. It starts to drizzle. Oh my God. Okay, so let's go. So I decide I'm going to take Route 1 all the way down and hit 295. When I got on Route 1, my GPS redirects me to 171 to get on Route 130 South. Now, 130 South, South Jersey campus is on 130 South. So instantly, I get relaxed. I'm just going to cruise all the way home, 130 South. No, it takes me off 130 South, puts me on 206. At this point, I am beginning to feel this journey is about to be longer than I thought. And I'm driving. Now, my work phone, my personal phone is almost dead. My instruction, my map GPS is on my personal phone. It's almost dead. So I take my work phone, I turn on the map. Now I have two instructions on two different. So while one has avoid toll, one does not. So both of them are giving me instructions at the same time. One is saying, one is trying to redirect me. The other one is saying, just keep going, just keep going. Sometimes that's the way we are with life. When we don't have the patience to say, God, what are you saying? I would just rush through the noise, the distractions from everywhere, the pressures, everything at once. And that's how I felt that day. It was like, where am I going? But I kept going. Needless to say, it took me 3 hours to get home. 3 hours. And where I came out from, I've lived there for 6 months. I've never seen those places. Let's just say I discovered some places. So suffering is a teacher, right? It teaches you, it shows you all kinds of things. So in today's world, I've always said that it's like the unwelcome, right? It's on the unwelcome visitor. But it also teaches you. Because as I was going that day, as I was making that drive that day, there were things that I was seeing. There was also things I was hearing. Like the GPS, you have to learn, don't have two GPSs on at the same time, right? You're going to get confused. So which one are you going to follow? So suffering is a teacher. Now, let's talk about patience and endurance. Okay, patience is the ability to remain calm in the face of adversity. the ability to remain calm in the face of adversity, in the face of confusion, in the face of, you know, when you hit the end of the road, is that ability to stand back and just say, okay, Lord, what are we doing? But when you look at it from the biblical perspective, patience is linked to faith and trust. When you're trusting God, what is that word? You cannot worry and worship at the same time, right? So you cannot be trusting God. You cannot say that you trust God if you're not patient. If there's no patience involved, there's no trust involved. Because patience has to also do with waiting. Are we cool? Right? I haven't confused anyone yet. Right? So, patience, the ability to wait, to be calm, to persevere. And it's considered actually a virtue. In the face, you persevere in the face of trials and tribulations, knowing that God is faithful. As we go down the road, I'm going to share some personal experiences that helped me in the past and still help me now. Okay, Romans 12:12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. That is such a short passage, but it's a powerful one. Because you can either be patient and be crying, or be patient and be joyful. And what's the difference between those? Both. You know the end story. So you wait with joy. When you're waiting in, even when you're crying, right? Because sometimes you cry, you want to laugh, but it's tears that are coming. But even in the tears, right, there's still this knowing, God will never fail me. There's still that knowing there. So think about the farmer, like it was saying in the passage, the farmer. They sow and they reap. But what's the difference between the sowing and the reaping? It talks about the early and the late rain. I found out that the sugar cane, you know how many months it takes for the sugar cane from seed to harvest? Anybody knows? Sometimes it's 12 to 15 months, but also depending on the conditions of the geographical area, it's 18 months. So they put the seed in the ground. Imagine the farmer put the seed in the ground yesterday and today is looking for sugarcane. So with patience, there's a timing. Seed time, harvest time. There has to be rain on the seed. There has to be rain. It doesn't happen. The same way in our spiritual lives, we're waiting on God for things and it's like, why is this thing taking so much time? Seed time, harvest time. Early rain, late rain. Okay? So, let's do... Now, let's talk about... These two verses I was thinking about. When it talks about patience, being patient to trust in God's timing and His providence and all. 2 Peter 3:9 said that the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some people understand slowness. Because even in the 2 Peter 3:8, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years like a day. God's timing, you cannot put a limit on it. You can't rush God. He's going to move on His own time. You cannot rush. I don't know why I'm saying that to someone here. You cannot rush God. He's going to move on His own time. But just understand that God is never late. He's never late. Right. So let's talk about endurance. I said that patience is the ability to remain calm, right? Endurance, on the other hand, is the ability to persist. The ability to stay. Remember that scripture where it says, Isaiah 26:3, he will keep in perfect peace whose heart is stayed. Endurance is the ability to stay. As I was thinking about this one, it was like ability to stay in your lane. Sometimes when we're trusting God for things, yes, we say we're waiting expectantly, we're not waiting idly, and then we see probably someone who's believing God for the same thing that we're trusting God for, and God has answered them. So we tend to come out of our lane and be like, wait, what did they do? Well, you're now trying to figure out why God has answered them and not you. It's not the same race. You're not Gladys. Gladys is not you. We're all children of God, but our races are different. So endurance is the capacity to persist, to stay through it, to just stay. And your gaze, and I'm reminded of that song, what peace we often forfeit when we don't bring it to God in prayer. I think that's what it says. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Ability to persist, to stay, in spite, despite what you see. Despite what you see, you stay rooted. Okay? So that's patience, endurance. I think I've talked about trusting in God's timing. Let's talk about our speech. I think that was the one in this study, that's the one that spoke to me the most. What you say. Sometimes, and I'm using myself, there was a time, there were seasons in my life where I was going through and I didn't care about, what I discovered was suffering can make you selfish. Because why should I care about somebody else when I'm going through it? So, in those seasons, some of my speech were not seasoned with salt. Because I'm going through it. Why am I expected to care what somebody else is going through? But then what I discovered was, even when you're going through, God is teaching you something that you can teach somebody else. So you're not closing off. Like, don't close off your heart. Because when your own heart is hardened, how are you hearing from God? How are you hearing from God? I'm jumping ahead of myself. But I wanted us tonight to talk about how do we guard our tongue during suffering. When you're going through something, how do you guard your tongue? And I'm going to stop here because I want us to talk about this. I want this to be interactive. When you're going through something tough, how do you guard your tongue so that it doesn't affect somebody else's trusting God? Because what I discovered, out of my selfishness, right, I discovered it actually hurt someone and almost pushed them out of faith. Because I didn't care what was coming out of my mouth because I was too engrossed in me, in my own feelings, in my own suffering. So what would be the best way? How do you control your speech? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speak with grace and compassion. I always tell people, extend grace. extend grace, especially if it's something you don't understand what it is that they're going through. All you see is, oh, this person's out of character, but they weren't always out of character, right? They were not always out of character. So if you see they're out of character, there's something going on. Extend grace. Speak with grace and compassion. Anyone else? Yeah, Ma.
For me, I think one of the things that we've learned in the book of James is being able to be slow to speak, quick to listen. And I think in the moment of actually training yourself to do that, usually the Holy Spirit will speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a lot of situations that you see just open your mouth and just being judgmental.
Right.
It's imperative to kind of understand the background, what's going on.
Yeah, be careful what you say. One thing I do is surround myself with people that I am accountable to, right? I have friends, and I know sometimes I can get animated, and I want to go in, and all like they just look at me, they just give me a look, and I know to not say anything, because talking is going to make it worse, and we don't want to make it worse. If anything, I'm very careful about my what I say being what will cause somebody else to fall or to feel bad. I'm not saying don't speak the truth, right? But speak the truth with love. Speak the truth with compassion. We are not of the world where we say these things, where we hear these things of, oh, I'm going to speak, truth to power. Truth to power, right? Oh, I speak it as it is. No. If it is not wrapped in compassion, if it is not wrapped in love, don't say it. Don't say it. Because we want to push people towards Christ more, not push them away from Christ. Not push them away from Christ. Okay? So, those are the practical ways. Speak in alignment with the truth, right? In alignment with the truth. Even when you are, sometimes when you're counseling somebody, be careful. What does the word say about what you're counseling them about? So you're not throwing opinions at them. If I were you, no. What does the word say? That should be our basis, where we start from. So, how do we... We talked about patience. We talked about our speech, right? Integrity of your speech. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Right? We talked about endurance. How do you then cultivate this patience in daily life? Because you need it. Those of us that are parents here, we need it. Those of us that are married here, we need it with our spouses. Those of us that work outside of the house. In fact, everybody in this room, you need patience. Everyone in this room. Everyone, in fact, today more than ever in this world, we need patience with everybody. So, one thing I always say is seek God's perspective on everything. You got to seek God's perspective in everything. Even when you don't understand, pray first. Come at this thing with prayer first. And I'm not saying, oh, do like 40 minutes of, tongues. Sometimes it's a simple, Lord, how do we handle this? Holy Spirit, how do we handle this? Right? I'm going to bring one up. And it's the learn from experiences. Learn from experiences. So, I have two children, and I remember when I came into the country in my 20s, one of the things I said was I wanted to go to school. I wanted to get a first degree before I had kids. So I prayed about it. I actually told God. I was like, I don't want to have kids while I'm in school. I want to have kids when I'm almost done. I planned it. I told God. I sat and I told God. So we were in church. Tell me why every time between those space of time, we're talking 1990, I don't want to age myself. 1997, I came into the country in 1997. So 1997 and 2002, okay, that was the space. I had heard to 2002. So 1998, every time in church, oh, everybody looking for the fruit of the womb, come out. I'll be going out. Like, I never thought about it. Because you have to be careful that sometimes what you have prayed to God for and God has given you a word for, be careful just because in church you did not ask people who are believing God for that thing to come out, you now join. But you've already settled. Right? I had already settled with God what I wanted. And God had agreed with me. So, 2000, on a Sunday, they said, they called for the same people. Innocently, I get up, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, where are you going? Go back. Did you not ask me? You didn't want to have kids now. You didn't lose anything. Go back. So I went back to my seat, and for like 10 minutes, I was just, remember the Holy Spirit were talking, and it was reminding me of what I said I wanted. Do you know, I got pregnant the same month I graduated, which is originally what I told God I wanted. So that's why it says, don't wait idly. Don't wait passively. You prayed about something. First of all, the patience itself is to start from something you asked God, right? You've asked God for something. Remember. That's why journaling is important. Remember what you asked God. Because it was almost like I prayed for something, but my actions were not lining up with what I prayed for. My action wasn't lining up with what I prayed for. Another example I'm going to give you. Someone gave a testimony about how they got married and they were, kids were not coming, okay? And God gave someone a word for them that you're going to have a son, gave them the name of the son, okay? Then in 2006, God tells this woman, your son is going to come in 2006 to 2009. And so every time there was pressure, she said, I just went back to what God told me, 2009. Now, because she knew what God said, see, this is the thing we wait in. When you know what God has said to you, waiting is easy. I'm not saying there won't be pressures. There will be, you know, all these other pressures. But waiting is easy when you know what God has said and you stay with what God has said. And every time the pressure or the reminder for everybody's, because at one point it was like everybody's having kids. Look at the people you all got married together at the same time. Their kids are going to call, no, your kids are going to call their kids auntie. But it was so, when the Holy Spirit said to me, where are you going? Husband, I was like, wait. That's not what I asked for. I know what I asked for. And I had Nife. In fact, it was so funny. My last class was a database class, so we didn't have to be in class. We didn't have to physically come to class. When I went to defend my project, my professor saw me watching and was like, what's wrong with you? Wait, I told you to go do your final paper at home. You went and got pregnant. I see what you were doing. It was so funny, but it was what I asked God for. It was what I prayed for. So remember what you asked for. So you're not bringing... So I say that to say sometimes the suffering are things that we cause. I didn't. There was no reason for me to be going out and be lining up to be laid for hands to be laid on me for something. God, Like, really? Right? So that's the thing. Does anybody have an example of when they were waiting on God for something and they forgot? And you forgot what it was? It can't be only me. It cannot be only me.
Before I got married, so I had, just told God how many kids I wanted, you know, what I like them to look like, the behavior, you know, and stuff like that. So in my naivety, I asked God, I said, God, please, at least out of the kids that you're going to give me, literally, I said two boys and one girl, even though later on I changed, but then God said, you've already asked, that's what I'm giving to you, because the last one came as a surprise. So I said to God, I said, okay, one of the girls has to at least have my type of attitude and my behavior so that if I travel, she can remind my husband of me. And one of the boys has to be like my husband so that if he travels, you know how you're just so excited and you just ask for things. And to God who made me, Chloe is like, come on, copy of Molly and Caleb when he's doing all his stuff. I'm like, God, remind me of your father. So there are some things that I'm like, okay, Chloe, there's some things in me I don't want you to have. And, you know, now it becomes a prayer point. God, there's some things in Caleb I don't want him to have. You know, anyway, but that was just funny. So, you know, it's when I started seeing some of their personalities, I'm like, oh, my God, I did ask God for that. But one of the things that I know vehemently was when I first, when I got married and I had the kids, you know, I have never heard of work at home at that moment. But it was so much on me that I was like, God, I mean, is there a way you can just formulate working from home and I have to go to work, you know, make it easy for me to just work from home and take care of the kids? Mm-hmm. So when God brought it to fruition, I was like, oh, my God, I did ask for that. I mean, it was a long time, but when God did do it, I was like, wait, oh, my God, I asked for that. And yeah,
right.
So.
I asked for that. Toby has something.
I, praise God. I don't know if it relates, but I remember years ago, I asked God that I want to travel the world and I want to travel while I was working. And last year, I was tired of traveling. I was just like, I just want to stay home. And then God reminded me that
you asked for
traveling. And then I changed my mindset to gratitude rather than being complaining about it. So that's an example.
That's what, you know, I had that also. Gratitude. Practice gratitude for what he has done for you in the past. Right? So sometimes things that I always say this, life will life. You can't avoid it. You can't escape it. But there are just some things that even when life is lifing, you go to God and you say, and one example before you say yours. Before, when I wake up, even before I do my devotion, even before I do anything, I go to my phone, right? I go to WhatsApp because my dad, maybe there's a message from him. Let me see. And then, my goodness, I had to stop because I was getting these messages that were just triggering me from the start of the morning, triggering me. And one day I got so animated and I was going off and I heard the Holy Spirit say, stop. The reason why you get mad, you get angry is because you think you are the source. You think you are the provider of the things that they are asking. But what you need to do from now on, and he told me what to do. When they ask, you ask me. Because I am the source. I am your provider. And ever since, when I see it, I just say, Lord, I put my phone down. And he's taking care of it. Every time. Patience has to work with faith. Because if you don't work in faith, you're going to be angry. You're going to be so down in spirit, and that will blind you, that will deafen you. You don't hear anything, you don't see anything, and you don't grow spiritually. Suffering is a teacher. It teaches you how to rely on God. It teaches you how to depend on God. It teaches you, okay, I'm going to do this God's way, not my way. There's no backup plan. There's no, okay, what if I did this way? Maybe this will happen. No, it's the first, Lord, I'm handing this over to you. What do we do? What are we doing? Go ahead.
Yes, this is kind of a, can you hear me?
Okay.
This is kind of a different example, but one time I was talking to this guy, and one day I was praying, and I was saying, you know, God, please let me do only what pleases you. If this relationship doesn't please you, please take it away. I don't want to have anything to do with anything that you don't want if it's not your purpose. So the next day, the guy doesn't call. I'm calling. He's not picking up. I'm crying. I'm like, God, what is going on? And he was like, didn't you ask me to take it? You asked me to take it away. So,
listen. Remember. So I'm going to read some of the comments on Facebook, on YouTube. Okwemi said, I asked to travel less and work remotely. Now I'm complaining of being able to be of going to the fridge every 5 minutes. You know, you just got to remember what you... I think there will be less suffering if we remembered what we asked God for. There will be less of it. Let me see. That was fun, right? That was fun. It's fun to remind ourselves. You got some? Okay, someone has something.
Yeah, praise God. I don't mean to piggyback, but I had the mic before, but you didn't call me. I just wanted to...
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to comment on the two, though. Yeah, I was going to say the first question you asked, when you said how we, you know, what we say when...
Yes,
I was going to say there was a time that this came to me, like, there are different ways to complain. Like, that's how I saw it. Complaining positively and, you know, complaining negatively. You know, we know the Bible, we know all those things, but sometimes when we are so pushed, when situations have gotten ahead of us, we say those things. And one thing I started doing was when I admit the reality of the situation, like, for example, I say, this is so tough, or this is really difficult, or things are not getting right, but I know.
But I know
that this is not my end. I know that it's, you know, this I'm going to pass through, you know. So that's another way, you know, complaining, you know, positively, like when you realize a situation. Because sometimes we can't always be Christiane, like, you know. So we have to face the reality. So back to this one we're talking about. There are some situations where you ask God for something, right? Like, some prayers we pray, and then when God starts to answer the prayers, we say, you know, why is this thing happening to me? Because sometimes you are praying for maybe growth or for some particular things, and God is not taking you through the route
that you thought.
So he's taking you through another bending route.
Yes.
Like, before he gives you that thing, he wants to make you be patient, you know, he wants to humble you. So all those aspects, and sometimes we are too, sometimes I can get too, like, are you sure it's not, you know, I'm not being pummeled, or it's not a negative thing. And God reminds me, no, this is how I want to answer the, you know, the I want to bring an answer to that prayer.
Right.
So another thing is that having that relationship with God is what helps us, because James is talking to Christians. Mm-hmm. So it's what helps us, because if we don't have that relationship with God, we will not know. Sometimes we won't even know if the suffering is actually from the devil. And we just relax. Maybe the time has elapsed. Mm-hmm. And we are just relaxing and say, yeah, it's God that is still for me. Meanwhile, that season has passed. So the ability to, you know, have that sustainable relationship and hearing from God part time is very crucial to being patient and suffering. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm.
So part of the, I think it's the 7 where it says wait expectantly, right? So what are you? What is it that you're? One thing I always ask myself is, what is it that you're waiting on God for? And this is when it gets confusing, when it gets dark, like now it's like things are so crazy. I come back and I say, okay, what is it that we're expecting out of this situation? What is it? What is the prayer point? What is it that I am having faith for? What is it that I am trusting God for? Because sometimes the lines get so muddy, like you don't know anymore. So it's better to step back. This is the situation. There is someone that I am trusting God for a turnaround in their life. And I found that I got up from sleep one day, and the Holy Spirit was saying to me, the reason why you haven't seen this turnaround is because you're praying wrongly. I'm praying for someone for God to turn their lives around, and I'm angry at them. I'm angry. So my prayers are going something like, Lord, he should know. Lord, he should know, right? That's the kind of prayer I'm praying. And then sometimes even when I'm speaking to other people, I'm like, he should just know these things. I'm judging him and I am praying for him at the same time. It's like I'm opening the door and closing it. I'm opening the door and I'm closing it. So what is the Lord supposed to do? Which one do you want? Do you want his life to turn around, or which one? So I had to say, I had to ask the Holy Spirit to help me pray for him. Because I needed that. Because I realized that I needed to forgive so many things. Because in my praying for this person, because my heart wasn't soft towards him, my heart was hardened towards him. So some of us that have family members, you know, those family members that drive you, check your heart against them. How you pray for them. The reason why nothing is happening is because your heart, your own heart. God has to work on your own heart. And then you'll be able to pray for them. And you'll be amazed at the things that God is asking you to pray about. Well, that's part, it's part of suffering. I had to get to that point. Lord, fix my own heart. Soften my own heart. I forgive. I forgive. Because I realized it was years of just constant back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it was like, wow. When I saw that, it was like, oh, okay. Speak the truth in love. Pray in love also. Pray in love. All right? So someone said practice gratitude. I think that was Toby. Seek God's perspective. Learn from past experiences. What did God do? This same thing that you may be passing through now, believe it or not, you may know somebody who has gone through it. And they came through. They gave testimony. Sometimes that's all you need to remember. This person went through. Why wouldn't God do the same for me? Right? He may not do the same way that I think, but it will still come through. The other thing I when I was studying for this was a person And that's even from me waiting 6 years before I decided to have a child, right? Which is, I prayed about it, but it took me 6 years. The same way that a person who, I'm talking about endurance now and patience, a person who got married in February and had a baby in December, the way they trust God is different from somebody who got married in 2000 and just had a baby in 2024. Do you, their patience level, their endurance level is, okay, let's even look at Abraham and Isaac. If you look at the genealogy, is it them? There was somebody I was listening today, and I think the father of this person in the Bible, the father, this person was already maybe 200 years old, though, and their own father was alive, and they were just having kids, like at 100. So imagine the pressure. Imagine the pressure. It would have been, what's going on? And the father is saying, before I die, I want to see your son. What's going on? Go and take, maybe you should take somebody from the household of so-and-so. But they endured. They endured. Look, okay, Job. Look at Job. All that Job went through. And imagine, remember the friends that were telling him, was it the wife that said, just curse God and die? Like, why are you enduring this pain, these boils and everything? Just curse God and die. But he endured. Because when he gets to 42, he says, of a truth, nobody can stop. Nobody can change what it is you have put in place or what you planned. I don't know. Are there Jobs today? Are there Jobs today? Because, man, I don't know if that was me. I'm not sure. And I'm just being truthful now. I don't know. I don't know. Because I can't even do pain. I can't do pain. You should see me when I stomp my feet. You know, you're walking in the dark and you hit your... Oh, it's like Armageddon. You know, so another thing is to embrace humility. I want us to read some scriptures, actually. For the sick, God's perspective, can we read Psalm 34:19? I want somebody else to open to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So who has 34:19? Can we have it on the screen also?
Psalm 34:19. I'm reading the NIV. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all.
The Lord delivers him from them all. But if you don't go to God, how do you get the instructions for walking out of here, walking out of this situation? Proverbs 3, 5 to 6.
Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight.
See how it doesn't say trust God with some of your heart. It says all, not some. Because when you do that, you hand over everything to him. I also discovered in a certain season, this happened last year. I was going through this thing and it was so hard. And one day, I think it was during the Hallelujah Challenge. See, that's why, who talked about relationship with the Lord? Our relationship with the Lord. You cannot joke with your prayer life. You cannot joke with your word life. Get in the Bible. Get in the Word. There is an answer. The Bible, I call the Bible the way of escape from any situation in this life. The Bible has a way of escape. So this thing, this situation was so tough. It was so tough. Was to the point where I wasn't afraid, but I wasn't sleeping. It was trying to rob me of sleep. And one day I got so angry in my spirit and I started to pray. And as I prayed, it just dawned on me, like, whatever you put in God's hands, the enemy cannot take it from God's hands. Unless you take it, you take it from God's hands and you hand it over to the devil again. And you know how we hand it over to the devil? We start to worry. We start to figure things out. We start to see, okay, if this doesn't work, then this one will work. But then it was so quiet. It was like, whatever you put in God's hands, the enemy has to go through God to take it. Sometimes, suffering will bring you to the point where you realize some things. And when you realize those things, they become like a dog with a bone. Like, I know this. So, you don't bother. I know of a truth. Like Amichi was saying, yeah, this is happening, but I know. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Let's look at James 4:6. And somebody else can read 1 Peter 5:6. Cultivating patience in daily life by embracing humility. James 4:6. You got it?
But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble.
Grace. When you're humble, God gives you grace. And grace and mercy. Mercy. Was it Nathaniel Bassey? He says, when you don't know, ask God for mercy. When you know, ask God for mercy. In between, ask God for mercy. 1 Peter 5:6. Can someone read that one?
And then, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor.
At the right time. See, that timing is coming again. God's timing is coming again. I think Pastor B has some.
Yeah, as we're talking about, as you've been walking us through being patient in suffering, and we've been talking about the challenges we go through in life. Another aspect of suffering I want us to examine is the suffering that we endure because we are believers. The suffering that we endure, because I think that's something James was also speaking to. And I really want us to look into it because I believe we are getting into that time in our days that as a believer, you will have to, you know, give something up because of Jesus, because you believe in Jesus. The points we have here will help us definitely. Hebrews talks about Jesus, that because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And I just want us to really take a look into that also, because we are going through different things. You've talked about family, relationship things. As a single person in our days,
right,
you know, you will need to suffer some sacrificing things because you don't want to compromise because of your faith. Mm-hmm. So I just want us to speak to some of those things that really applies to the persecution that people are going through or that we will still go through because of our faith. because that's also a major part of suffering that is very real. And I think James was speaking to that too.
Right. So the single people. I know sometimes I've spoken to some, and one of the pain points that I always hear is, well, how come that person, it's easy, they come into church, for example. I've been here for a while. They come into church, and before you know it, they're getting engaged. Like, how come nobody saw me? Right? That's one. But sometimes the reality of it is, I'm sorry, your spouse may not be in this building. Your spouse may not even be in this time zone. Fact! Amechi, you have something to say?
Just before Pastor B spoke, this scripture came to me. I'm going to just read it. And it's kind of confirmed what I was thinking about. It's 1 Timothy 1. I'll start from in verse 11. I'm reading the Message translation. It said, "And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. That is, yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he's able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day." So, like, this is a very anchor scripture for, you know, a believer who is suffering because he's a believer. Because we are confronted with this, you know, persecution. The Bible says that blessed are ye if you're persecuted for my sake, right? You know, we are blessed. If you're persecuted, God is going to take care of us. So it's just what it is, but we are convinced that whatever we put in God's hands, just like you said, he will not take it away from us. So we just keep trusting him, and he'll help us too.
So can I ask a question? I don't want to shake tables. If you're not married at a certain age, do you think it's a suffering? Because maybe it's not time.
I think one way some people can consider it suffering is because they may have a lot of fleshly desires.
And a lot of what?
Fleshly desires.
Okay.
If you're walking with Christ, you know that, you know, you're not supposed to flee fornication, and you're supposed to put your flesh under subjection.
Okay, I see that.
So that may be a form of suffering.
Okay.
Not having a companion also may be a form of suffering. But I think it's important to realize that there's also purpose in singleness as well.
There is a purpose in it. Pastor has something to say.
I just thought of something as she was talking. I'm wondering how come we also have, maybe we even have more adultery than we have fornication.
Pastor shaking the wall.
Right? Because, no, I'm just saying that people who are married will still somehow. So sometimes maybe marriage doesn't necessarily take care of those things as much as we think in life. Just a thought. It doesn't even. Otherwise, people won't be going out of. And people. So I think it's just something to note. But I think the bigger issue. The challenges of life will always be there.
Always.
Whether you. I mean, singleness will bring its own challenges. Trust me, being married will bring it. That's why. Almost half of marriages end up in divorce today, because if it solves all the problems, make everybody better, then, you know, they won't. Everybody who is married will just be happily ever after, and the rest will not. So it doesn't always. I think it's just good to recognize that no matter where you find yourself in life, marriage, you know, don't try to get out of it, because a lot of people want to get out of it also. Single, recognize that this is where you have for now, and God is still in your moment. And like Rebecca said, there is purpose in that
singleness
for this season.
Mm-hmm.
And when it changes also, there's purpose in that. I think it's good to have that mindset in general.
Right.
So you don't always see things from, oh, because I've seen people also who, a lot of people jump into marriage thinking it will solve their problem, end up really making mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're just desperate. You just think being married will just take care of everything, and you are disappointed.
Right.
And sometimes you might even now, you know, expect too much from that person, you know, because you just think that person will really be all, do everything, fulfill all the needs in life.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just good to accept where you are in life for now,
right,
and ask God, how can I make the most of it?
Okay.
But I think the suffering we all go through as believers is irregardless of whether we are married or not. I think because we are in Christ, many of us will go through certain challenges at workplace, even among families.
Right.
We just want to make decisions going certain way that goes against your own conviction.
Yep.
And because you are a believer, they can turn against you. Friends do turn against you.
Mm-hmm.
Co-workers do turn against you. You might find out that there are certain jobs you can't take.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can't thrive in. I mean, there are a lot of things that we need to recognize as Christians that it is part of being a Christian. Those who want to live righteous in this world will suffer persecution. That is clearly in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That if we think life is all about avoiding people not liking me, avoiding this, we are going to end up compromising.
Right.
And you're going to end up being less of a Christian like mm-hmm. you should be. You're going to end up not pleasing God. And you're going to end up not being a fulfilled person in mm-hmm. the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just good as believers to know that, you know, just staying true to our conviction, at some point in the course of our life, we mm-hmm. always attract people who don't like us.
Right.
And that's part of suffering.
Right.
And we must be fine with it.
Right. So, conclusion of the matter. In suffering, there is development. Right? It's a process. I'm sorry. It's a process. It's not a one-time process. It's a growing process. That growth is, right, you're growing. There's no stunt. If you don't face, like someone was saying, enjoy your season. But how do you enjoy it? Walk with God in every season. And there's a lesson for every season. I think that's what I see for myself. That's what I know for myself. There's a lesson in every season of suffering. And the end of it all is always trust God. That's what my shirt says, trust God and chill. Just trust God and chill. Chill because God has got your back. Chill because He's the same God. He was the same God yesterday, the same God yesterday, today, tomorrow, forever. He's not going to do anything that will make your life worse. But the more you trust in God, right, the more that you trust in God, the more that you know Him, the easier it is for you to walk through the seasons. Easy. Okay, one more, and then we're going to close.
I had an epiphany a while ago. I think the question is that we don't know how to wait, or we don't understand what waiting is.
Yes.
We wait, and we're anticipating, but we're also questioning God, like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're always looking at our own time. And God is not a God. It doesn't function in our own
that
time.
Way, right.
So I think when we change our mindset to say, you know, I want to work or I want to wait for God's time,
mm-hmm.
And it takes you to forget about your own timing and just put it in the back burner. So just looking, like the Bible says, looking unto God, looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith.
Right.
Because he wants us to stand firm. So standing firm means that no matter what is going on around you, no matter the persecution or the waves or anything coming, you are not distracted. You're focused.
You're focused.
I think we need to change our mindset or look at the term waiting. It means stand firm no matter what the situation is.
Right.
So just wanted to add that.
Right. It's like that song, God, Firm Foundation. Right? He is our firm foundation. And all other rocks are sinking sand. Anything else that you trust in outside of God is sinking sand. You're going to sink. So, what's your alternative? And I always tell people too, what's your alternative to trusting God? What is your, when you look at the stress, when you think about the stress of not trusting God, because you're trying to figure things out on your own. And when you try to figure things out on your own, you make a mess, right? You make a mess because you're going to make mistakes. You're going to go to a different, something entirely different. Rather than you spending that time that you're using to run around, spend an hour in God's presence and see what He tells you to do. So, I'm going to leave you with this scripture, Romans 5, 3 to 5 from TPT. It says, but that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence. We have a settled assurance. When I meditate sometimes, I start to put other words in the scripture. Right? So tonight, we have a joyful confidence. We have a settled assurance. We have an unwavering confidence, knowing that our pressures will develop in our patient endurance, and patient endurance will refine our character. Suffering shows you who you are. It exposes your heart. Exposes your heart. And it leads us back to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. If anything, whatever it is that you're walking through this season, stay the course. Like, let your gaze be on Him and Him alone. Every step that you take, every move that you make, let it come from God. All of it, let it come from God. When you don't know which way to go, stay until you hear. Don't run ahead of God. Stay until you hear. These are experiences. These are things that I have experienced. I'm not telling you something that I don't know about. Stay until you hear. And sometimes waiting could mean reset. Waiting could mean restart. Waiting could mean pause. Waiting could mean pivot. In all of this, just hear God. Just hear God. Amen. All right. Let's take our offering tonight. Thank you for coming tonight in this rainy time. So we have different ways of giving in Agape House of Worship.